This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
I am talking with Wilson Fairchild, Will and Langdon Reed, and welcome, guys, to our podcast.
Thank you, Chris. Very much. We appreciate it.
We're on location here at the French Press in Waynesboro. Thanks, guys, for coming out. This is nice to catch up with you guys. And so what you got going on? This is a big year for Wilson Fairchild.
It is. We have a lot of things.
This is Will. I'm too nervous to talk. Langdon, you tell
me. I'm afraid this might happen.
He's clamming up, you know. The introvert is coming out.
Yeah, I'll get a control.
Go get another cup of coffee.
I'll get control here in a second. I'm ready.
2017 has been shaping up to be a busy year for us, an exciting year for us. We've got a lot of things, a lot of irons in the fire, and let's see, in a nutshell, to start with, I guess the things to talk about is we have got our own radio show. That has debuted here at the, I guess, 1st of May, was it?
That's right.
And so that's a weekly radio show that we're doing. And then we're going to be playing the Grand Ole Opry at the famous Ryman Theater in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yep.
That'll be happening on May 25th.
Right.
We are also headlining the 4th of July event in Stanton, Virginia. That's been going on for a long time. That was started by the Statler brothers, who two of our dads, Harold and Don Reed, are members of. So that's very special and dear to us. That was started in 1970, and they did it for 25 years, so it ended in 1994. Celebration has been going on since then, but this was the first year that we wanted to get back and get involved and headline it, and hopefully bring some of that magic back that we grew up with.
So we purposely didn't perform after 1994 because, as you may know or not know, that the event grew to a huge 100,000 people in the community. And it was such a wonderful event. Part of our childhood, we were raised with it. But, you know, we decided that you know, we wanted to stay away from it because it was their event. But we truly missed it so bad is why this year we had some gracious people on the committee come to us and say, would you please perform? And we really wanted to come back and perform in Stanton on the 4th of July. It just means something to us.
Yeah, I grew up here and remember how crazy it was. 100,000 people coming to Stanton. We become a four times as big city that weekend or that week every year. What was that like for you guys growing up? To be a part of that atmosphere.
Wow.
It was exciting.
It was.
It was always exciting. You know, we heard some of the greatest compliments from a lot of people in Stanton, and I'll never forget one lady said, she said, we love the 4th of July so much. I don't know if she said she did love it more than Christmas or almost loved it more than Christmas.
But it was like Christmas to her, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you know, our dads started the event for the right reasons. They just wanted to give back to the community because they had some success in the music business. But they had so many friends in the community. Everybody got on board and said, you rolled up their sleeves and said, what can we do to help you? And it grew and grew and grew, and it certainly grew into something that they never fathomed would happen.
It was all by accident.
It was all by accident, and that was what was so wonderful about it.
Tremendous honor, I'm sure, for family members too, just to think that that many people cared, you know, enough to come and they fight to set their chairs up early and everything else. And be here every year for us. So many people came back every year for that show. So now, 2017, 23 years later, you guys are headlining it.
Yes.
Any pressure?
Only pressure I think we put on ourselves, probably.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's sure. Only pressure if somebody shows up. But if nobody comes, there won't be a lot of pressure, you know. We're just going to, it'll be like a band rehearsal.
That's right.
You know what? Yes, we have a lot of expectations for ourselves. And that was part of us jumping back into the ring to say, here, you know, we want the tradition of the event. It's a non-alcoholic family event in these days of, you know, all kinds of different festivals. And, you know, what's one of the funniest things that we have tried to work out details on is the seating. Do you remember years ago with the lawn chairs and the lining up and all that type of thing? Well, we said, you know, that's the way we want it. We're doing it at Gypsy Hill Park, and we're actually doing it on the parking lot this year to get away from the gazebo to say, hey, this is a whole new event. Well, when we started explaining to people that didn't know about the old event, they were like, well, what are they going to sit on? I was like, well, they're going to bring their lawn chairs. Their lawn chair, where are they going to put them? I said, well, we're going to have to organize this. You know, there's got to be somebody there. It's going to be lined up. We got to put aisles in. And they put up, you know, their lawn chairs. And one of the funniest things was there'll be entertainment all day of the 4th. And one of the concerns was, well, if somebody puts their chair up on the front row for the night show, well, if somebody comes to see an act in the afternoon, where do they sit? I was like, well, if there's nobody there, they can sit in their chair. And they're like, they'll sit in somebody else's chair? I was like, well, you know what?
That's the way it always was done.
You know what? It is 2017. We have gotten away from some of those cool things
that
used to be. I said, so we're just going to have to roll with that, you know? We don't want anybody upset, but certainly nobody's going to sit in their chair all day long.
Right.
So we'll just have to play that out. But it is. We talked about that. It's a whole new day, but we hope we can bring some magic back to the event. Yeah.
And there are a lot of details to take care of, and that we're learning that firsthand, just like that. You know, where do I stand with my chair? Like, oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
We just thought we'd open the gates up and people come on in. Yeah, right. You're right. Yeah,
exactly.
And it is a different day and age. You're right. 25 years ago, more. I mean, yeah, you people would respect the fact that there are chairs there. And plus, there was a routine, I guess.
Yes. That's the joy of being in a small town, supportive community who can just roll with it. Yeah. And we'll let you know how it goes July 5th.
That's right. The after action report. Maybe sometime even after that. Grand Ole Opry. Is this the first time you'll play Grand Ole Opry?
No, it is not. Okay. We've done it before.
Okay.
We have, yes.
Not as regulars, but on occasion we have performed there in the past. It's been a few years since we performed there. The cool thing is they're doing an Opry Country Classics series that they do at the Ryman Auditorium. So this is the last one in this series until fall. But they're actually doing a tribute to the Statler Brothers music. So we're thrilled to be involved, and that goes hand in hand with the new record we've got out called Songs Our Dads Wrote, that our dads, Harold and Don Reed, had co-written over the years. So we're slated to do 2 or 3 songs at the Ryman, always an honor. You know, it's the epicenter of where it all started for a lot of people.
So you're playing Ryman, and you've done that before, but will this be the first time you're playing Statler Brothers music? At the
I think so.
Yes.
Yes, we've, again, like, you know, there's always the Grand Ole Opry at the Opry House on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
But throughout the summer, they always do this series on Thursday nights called the Opry Country Classics.
Yeah.
And they go with a theme. So it really is something special as far as where it's being held and always which theme is being sung that night. So, it's something cool to stand there on that stage of the mother church of country music.
I like asking questions about pressure. So now you're singing Statler Brothers music for the first time at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, thank you.
That's
Chris.
Special, right? I mean, I'll put it the nice way. Yeah, the pressure.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it too.
I hadn't thought about that way. Now, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, now I'm nervous.
Now I'm rattled. no, but that's got to be cool to be singing music you grew up with, music your dads wrote.
It is.
At the Opry.
Yeah. It is. It's special and... You know, some of this we Langdon and I take for granted because it's always what we wanted to do. We were inspired by them at an early age, from their writing to their entertaining. We didn't know what a big deal they were until we tried to get into the business. You know, it's so surreal because it was our life, and our dads were great about keeping the business and family separate. They stayed in Virginia. They didn't move to Nashville, which made them so unique. But along with that, they paved a huge road in country music. They're in the Country Music Hall of Fame now. But not until Langdon and I, years ago, started going back and forth to Nashville, building relationships, meeting people, trying to build our own career, and got the reaction from people firsthand of what they thought of our dads. And, you know, I think he and I understand it more than most people in our family, what an impact they made on the world with their music, you know?
And I'd say probably even maybe more than the Statlers. No.
That's true.
True. Seriously.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because we've gone back and exposed them to their music that, you know, once they recorded it in 1974, they were on to the next business thing, and they never really got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So it's so fun to see them enjoy some of the music they wrote through us.
Yeah.
So, it's special, but we love it so much that, you know, we just, I guess it's second nature to us.
I imagine you guys could have taken the easy route, so to speak, and said, hey, our dads are the Statler Brothers. Give us a contract, but you chose to go the hard way, right? I mean, you decided to earn this, right?
Exactly.
And as a result, does it feel more like, you know, that you've appreciated it more as a result of that?
Yes, of course. You know, that was one thing when we go and do shows, and when we started this musical career on our own, that was kind of one thing we always put in our contracts, was to kind of leave the billing, the name Statler Brothers, out of that, because we didn't want the expectation there. Because you, people expect, oh, okay, well, it's going to be four guys who are going to show up and sing country, southern gospel music harmony, and that's not what we do. So we really wanted to, now, you know, you listen to us talk, you listen to us sing, and the mannerisms, and it's definitely hereditary, and I think reminiscent of who our dads are. We can't get away from it.
Yeah, we learned to embrace a large part of it, but
for the longest time, we stiff-armed that. You know, because we're like, no, daggone it, we got this, we're going to do it. But there, and that was fine, people appreciated that, but they still wanted us to embrace it more than I think we were.
Yeah.
And so once we made that decision to say, hey, let's do a few of their songs and tell some stories and talk about that, and our heritage and our memories and our childhood and bring it all together, people really appreciated it, and we do too. It was nothing we were ever running from or ignoring. We were just very conscious of wanting to make sure that we weren't riding coattails.
That's right.
And that was important to us. And once you find that fine line and define that gray area of, okay, we're not doing it here, but, you know, but we could be doing it here, then it made sense for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and it's so interesting too, and Langdon and I, of all the conversations we've had, of all the dead-end roads we've been down in the music business, and trying to understand who we are, what we have to offer, what are we doing, sometimes we feel like idiots that we're still even talking about this. But it's who we are. I mean, you know, that we came from this huge country music heritage, unique story, and now that our dads are retired, they're not out there entertaining. Langdon made a great point here a while back, and he said, you know, just because they retired, their fans didn't retire. You know, and there's generations of them. You know, we're running into a lot of people now, that people that are our age that know who they are through their parents, you know, or watched the Statler Brothers show in the 1990s. And have a real connection to their music, so you know it's true. So we really embrace that the fans see our dads and the music through us, and because we love them and we've always loved their music, we're great with that. You know, we hope we're kind of keeping the legacy going somehow.
Yeah,
to be continued. Yeah,
and there, the nostalgia thing you talked about, I can't think of the movie it was. I was watching a movie a few months ago randomly. I want to say it was a Quentin Tarantino movie. Flowers on the Wall all of a sudden pops up, and I
go,
and wow, you know,
yeah,
it's when you hear it in a context you're not expecting it.
Yes,
it catches you, and so yeah. After that, I went and I, you know, got on my MP3 player and downloaded a few Statler Brothers songs.
There you go.
It's fun how that is.
They have a gold album for that movie.
Really?
Because of that song.
Really? That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so you hearing that is just incredible. Yeah, so it touches you. When you know, it makes you remember the first time you heard the song.
Yeah.
And you takes hearing a song from a few years ago, it takes you back to that time when you were that age, what you were thinking, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, you guys are helping fans do that too, it sounds like.
I think the cool thing about their music, if you heard it firsthand, the generation before us, that those guys were the masters at being nostalgic. You know, that was, you know,
that
Americana
was their thing.
Nostalgia was their theme.
Yeah.
And I think it's that theme has been continued with us, because the second generation and our generation listened to it, and it's nostalgic for them because it's part of their childhood, and maybe they didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like, oh, I would remember being at my grandmother's house and she'd have this song, and now you all are singing it, and oh, now I'm putting it all together. And it is, I think that nostalgia is being carried on as well.
Yeah.
Through our music, via through their music.
Sure. Yeah. Talk about the radio show.
Let's do it.
Give us some details. Where do people hear it first?
Okay.
And a little bit about the format and everything else.
Well, the official name is the Wilson Fairchild Show. And
that's
right
pretty clever.
Now,
it's pretty good. Isn't
it? It is clever.
That's original, yeah.
It
yeah.
is clever. Yeah, the Wilson and the Fairchild. Hey, by the way,
a couple weeks thinking on that.
Yeah,
figured it out.
We finally figured it out. By the way, Wilson is Will's middle name, and Fairchild is Langdon's middle name. That's where that came from.
I was going to ask that question. You cleared it up.
We got it now.
So the Wilson Fairchild Show is a 30-minute radio show, and actually we're broadcasting through 96.9. WSIG out of Harrisonburg, Virginia. We were thrilled. We approached them. They were thrilled about the idea. They found us some space on Saturday evenings. It's right now it's airing at 5:30 through SIG on Saturday evenings, 5:30. And but we're also, you know, archiving everything, so it ultimately becomes a podcast. Right now, we're putting them on our website.
That's good.
So through wilsonfairchild.com, if you miss some episodes or you're traveling and want to hear more than one, they're all there. But we just started here a few weeks ago, and we're sharing stories from our career, from our childhood. It just seems like the most bizarre things happen to us, and I don't know if they just happened to us, or Langdon and I are just nuts enough that we find the humor and observe all the time. But the places we go, people we meet, things that happen, we're sharing those stories. And sharing stories about all the famous entertainers that we've met over the years. And it's certainly not a bragging thing. It's how much it means to us. Mm-hmm. Like, we just did a show, and it was all about Jerry Reed. Great, great writer, actor, guitar player, you know, Hall of Fame. He's going to the Hall of Fame this year, actually. Mm-hmm. Country Music Hall of Fame, and that's why we did it. But we crossed his paths a couple times in our life, and so we shared those stories and kind of give an inside look on who these people really are, and we're loving doing the radio.
We are. We just did another one on George Jones. We opened the George Jones show for 3.5 years for him. We were his opening act up until his death, and so that was one whole show we talked about too. And Will was talking a minute ago about the things that happened to us. I think the whole idea and the format of the show was born out of the idea that every time we would come back home, we would tell these stories to our wives or other families, and it was always, it seemed to be entertaining and funny, and they're like, oh my gosh, the darndest thing's happened. That really happened? You're making it up. We're like, I promise I'm not making this up. Whether it's just a conversation you had at a convenience store in Johnson City on the way to Nashville, or, you know, something that was really cool and touching that happened at the backstage at the Opry House that we just were just blessed enough to be there that night for something.
Or the guy that we actually talked to in the Walmart parking lot that night, and he explained to us that he had seen Sasquatch, and he was the color of corduroy.
See, that kind of stuff.
Detail.
You didn't know. Have you ever thought about what color Sasquatch is?
You know, and color of corduroy, that puts some thoughts in my head too. Yeah.
What about that imagery?
What color is corduroy?
See, I'm telling you, you got to love that.
Yeah.
So these are things that we roll a Rolodex in our mind and then pull out later like, oh, this could be funny.
I'm going to be thinking about that for a while now.
You'll never forget it. Yeah,
I'm gonna hope to run into that guy. I'm gonna record him. You guys, and if you guys do too, that's gonna be a good show.
Yeah. I don't know about all that other stuff, but that's
that right there. I gotta listen to that.
Sasquatch wearing corduroy.
We're on to something.
So
you really don't know what is going to happen on that show. I can tell you that.
That's the good thing. And
we like keeping it loose and informal like that.
Just like you do your banter on stage, just like your father's and established too. The music is entertainment, but just the stuff in between is always so entertaining too.
Well, thank you. And that's one thing that we have always felt, that we can connect with people. People enjoy the realism of any situation. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one part to be professional at your craft, but there's another thing to let people know that we're all in this together. And if we've kicked off a song in the wrong key and messed up, and said, well, wait a minute. We got to start over.
Yeah, you know, can't cover that up.
Y'all didn't pay for this.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So we're very conscious about laughing at ourselves, and therefore other people will laugh with you.
Yeah. I think radio shows and podcasts in this day and age, I listen to a lot of podcasts when I travel, it's pulling the curtain back a little bit and showing people, you know,
right. We're
real people too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. me and my little bit of broadcasting that I get to do, you guys, with everything you guys get to do. But we're real people too, and we run into people at Walmart and talk about Sasquatch, and you know, we all have stories from, you know, but it's so you get to tell these. I'm sure when you're telling these stories to your wives and your families, they're like, y'all gotta record this. Mm-hmm. This is too good to just be telling us. You gotta share this with the world. So
there you go.
That's the neat thing about how radio works.
And you know what? We'll see where it goes. We feel like it's a new venture for us, but it goes hand in hand with everything we're doing. You know, we're still writing, recording, performing, and back to the banter on stage. You know, we've gotten, that was another thing that Langdon and I were hesitant early on about doing that, because it's what our dads did. You know, it was our dad's thing, Harold and Don, to do the comedy on stage and the back and forth, and people loved it. And we were that funny behind the scenes, but we were always really careful, like, well, we can't do that on stage because people are going to accuse us of trying to be like them.
Yes.
Right. Like, why don't you do your own thing? Why do you got
to
do that?
It took us forever to overcome that. Uh-huh. But then when a good friend of mine said one time, man, y'all's music's okay, but y'all should have been comedians. I'm like, well, I don't know if that's a very nice thing to say to me.
That thing was just laughing while we were singing.
Considering how we make our living and all, that's not the nicest thing you could possibly say. Yeah.
So, but you know what? It just all came back that, you know what? This is who we are. We don't care what anybody says about it. You know, we love having a good time. We love making people laugh. We love singing country songs. We love keeping it traditional. And so it feels good where we're at right now.
You know, one thing you said a minute ago, and it reminded me, we were at our merchandise table after a George Jones show, talking to the nice people there, and they were coming up saying, oh, I enjoyed that one song you did. Oh, that slow one you sang so pretty. Oh, and I like this one. And then, thank you very much. And one lady chimed in. She said, y'all did sound good, but you know what I like? I like when y'all get at each other. I'm not completely sure what she meant, but she was talking about us just, you know,
but do you
just,
know,
just being real and laughing at each other. Yeah, yeah. If he does something stupid, I'm going to call him out on it. Yes. If I do something stupid, he's going to call me out on it. People are going to have fun. And I guess that's what you like. I like when y'all get at each other.
And that, you know what? And that bless that lady. She has no idea what an impact she had on us.
That we really
took that to heart and said, you know what? She's right. That's what people enjoy about us performing more than anything, is the unpredictability. And that is our own thing, which is a lot different than things that our dads did, you know.
That personal feedback does mean a lot. You know, we all have numbers you can judge based on CD sale numbers or visits to your website or whatever else. But people need to know that. When they tell you that one-on-one personal interaction and they give you that feedback, it sticks in the head. I still remember things people told me 20 years ago about whatever I wrote about or something I said on the radio one time or whatever. And good or bad, I'll remember it and try to learn from it. And that's interesting. You say that really had an impact on you, that one, that lady there.
It absolutely did. Uh-huh.
So,
and that's one thing I think we've always been very conscious to. We're very observant. And I say that as far as... well, it is. I think that's something that we take seriously, and we will pick up on.
Well, I think you're nosy. But if you call it observant, okay, that's fine.
You say nosy, I say observant. Tomato, tomato.
How close in age are you guys?
2 years apart.
2 years apart.
Yeah.
He's older.
Yeah.
Will's older.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Right.
Growing up together, I mean, always like this, the banter back and forth. I mean, it's pretty much like even though you're cousins, just
we're
like
first
your brothers,
cousins,
right?
But we fight like brothers.
Fight like brothers, yeah. That's what I'm seeing here, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
Do people confuse you for brothers? Because you have the same last name. Oh, and yes. I'm sure that there's confusion on that.
Yes.
You guys are two peas in a pod as far as that goes.
Yes. Well, I think the one time is we were on stage one time, and some lady from the first row, just out of nowhere, felt it was her time to talk.
Yeah.
So, like, she had the microphone.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so she said, are y'all twins?
Yeah, and we're identical cousins.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. So Will says, no, we're not twins. Do you think I'm that ugly? And pointed at me. So, I mean, you know, there you go. That's a little bit of our relationship.
I do have twin nieces, and one when they were kids growing up. Now they're teenagers. When they were growing up, they would say, you're ugly. Excuse me, but y'all are twins? So what you're saying there is, yeah. So that's interesting.
I'm doing the math right.
Yeah, that's a little tough. Yeah,
you're talking about yourself there, huh?
That's right.
That's
tough. But no, our relationship is genuine. So, you know, when our dads were touring and in business together when we were kids, you know, our mom spent a lot of time together. And so he and I spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And there was some, you know, the funny thing is when we were little, there were some knockdown, drag-out fights. I still don't know what we'd get mad at, but we were at odds and it would get ugly. And we'd
quick,
have to be it was quick. We'd
quick.
Have to be separated. And and then the next day we were begging our moms to go over to the other one's house, you know, cutting a fit. You know, I got to do it. And so, yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
That's good. And you can still stand each other, which is impressive.
That's right. The key is to know when to walk away. You know?
Uh-huh.
Like today, when the coffee's over, we'll go our separate ways.
I'm not speaking to you till October.
So May 25th, Grand Ole Opry, right?
Yes,
May 25th. And then, of course, July 4th. 7 weeks away. Yes. Probably less than 7 weeks away now.
That's going to be a fun two-day event. July 3rd. There'll be some activities and things going on the main stage over there. Plenty of food and fun, and fireworks are happening later that night. But the schedule is there'll be a Vesper speaker coming in for the night of the 3rd. Mm-hmm. And then the Stonewall Brigade Band will perform after that. They've been doing that for years. Great tradition. And then the next morning on the 4th, I think there'll be like a 5K run that happens that morning, probably around 8. 10 o'clock is going to be the parade around Gypsy Hill Park.
Yes.
And then starting at 1 o'clock will be live entertainment on the main stage all the way up until 6 o'clock. And then it'll take a little break, and then Wilson Fairchild will headline the event that night at 8 o'clock. And then when we're done, around 10 o'clock that night will be fireworks.
Bring it back to help them bring back the tradition of all those years. I know the celebration has been going on for a while, but this is going to be a special treat. So if you're out there listening on the podcast, that's July 3rd and 4th. We'll have information on our website, AugustaFreePress.com. On Facebook, we'll do all kinds of stuff to help get the word out. But well, Will Langdon, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been fun catching up.
Chris, you're the best, man. Thank you.
Chris, you are the best. And hey, by the way, if you ever need any consulting on like lacrosse, just call me.
You're a big lacrosse fan.
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
You know a lot about it, don't you?
Yeah.
I've learned.
We've talked about doing some lacrosse podcast in the future, so we'll probably jump
Chris
into that.
Chris and Will doing lacrosse. Oh, this is going to be great.
We'll have you as a special guest. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for your time.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, buddy.